Now, clearly doing the Great Yorkshire Show with Sue Rice as one of our team, it's impossible to avoid Masons of Yorkshire, Masons Dry Yorkshire Gin. Sue, you've already started tweeting this over the course of the year. It's almost like a build-up. It's like Christmas really approaching, isn't it, when you say, we're going to the Great Yorkshire to see Masons.
Yeah, it is for me. I follow Masons a lot on social media, and I have done ever since you first started. I got my sister onto it for Christmas one year, and we've gone through them all the new varieties over the years. Our favourite one is the lavender one, which we use in cocktails and things, but the traditional one is just as nice. It's fantastic. I really love it.
So clearly unbiased reporting perspective coming up here, and we're about to speak to...
I'm Andrew. I work for Masons, looking after the north of England for on-trade sales, and it's going to be here.
Andrew, when you get a customer like Sue here, who's basically just eulogised about the whole Masons gin product, and quite rightly so, etc., is this something that you get show in, show out, in the sense of obviously Masons is really growing and developing in all sorts of ways?
We're just going from strength to strength. We've just gone into Morrison's as well, so yeah, we are just going from strength to strength. And as you can probably see, we have the big stand in the foyer. We've got this one here. We're sponsoring the event in a big way. It's just we're just going from strength to strength.
Do I detect a slight Middlesbrough Teesside accent though?
I am from Newcastle, yeah.
So not really Middlesbrough then.
But it's okay. A little bit further north though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm speaking as a Middlesbrough soul here, so it's all right. Clearly one side in the Premiership, one not. I won't go there.
Harsh.
And I think Ben is obviously sort of heading off into various other bits of pieces. What is it that makes Masons of Yorkshire just that extra bit special?
It's made for the right reasons. So we try to make the gin so that it actually tastes for like all the botanicals that are in it. We don't like all of these other gins that are just juniper and then that's it and they've got nothing else to show for. We tone down the juniper a little bit, let all the other botanicals shine through, and obviously we do the tea and the lavender, which tie into the provenance of Yorkshire. You've got the lavender coming from Terrington's Lavender Farm just outside of York, and obviously Yorkshire tea. I mean, that's just one of those ideas that was just screaming out to happen.
When they started making that, we were really excited. It's a match made in heaven. And certainly in terms of my own sort of gin drinking habits, we like lots of different sorts.
Don't go too public with this, please, Sue.
We like lots of different sorts. And certainly the thing that makes Masons stand out from a lot of the other artisan gins that we've tried over the years is the clarity of the taste. You can the extra things that they put with it are not lost with the natural and original gin juniper flavour. It certainly stands out from all the rest.
I think Sue's clearly looking for a job as spokesperson for the company.
There's also the other thing that we, everything that we do is London Dry Ice style, which means that all of the flavour has to go on within the still. And everything also is unchill filtered, which means we don't get rid of all those natural oils, all those flavours that come from the oils of the botanicals. We leave them in the gin, so when you add tonic water to it, it still tastes great. That's why we're all about the G&T.
It was Churchill who actually said that gin and tonic actually saved more lives in the British world than any NHS, any health service combined. And I think certainly the fact that gin is in many ways what the British Empire was built on is coming of age once again.
Absolutely, yeah, of course.
Ben, you're from Brighton. This is your first experience of Masons of Yorkshire gin. It's actually Ben's first trip to Yorkshire. He's never been as far north as this before.
I think we're going to have to sort him a gin and tonic here, then, aren't we?
So, G&T gin?
I'll take that, yeah, definitely.
Here we are. This could be a whole routine. Thankfully, I'm doing
gin,
the drama.
Just my gin, no, it wasn't a pleasant experience in the morning after, but I don't mind a tipple.
Well, here we are. This is the taste.
Mixed it up here. This is the original to a ratio of 1-4 gin and tonic, which is just a 50ml measure to a full bottle of Fevertree, 200ml. And we like serving our original gin with orange zest as well. Not the orange wedge, we like the zest.
Ben?
Very nice. It is very nice.
I think we know what Sue's response is going to be.
Very nice.
And as you continue with Masons of Yorkshire Gin, presumably masonsyorkshiregin.com is the go-to place.
Yeah, so that's our website. In a couple of weeks' time, it'll actually be getting a little bit of a revamp as well. So if you go and visit, it'll look lovely.
Now, tell me, because I know this is a question that probably a lot of listeners, but definitely my sister will want to know, you do limited edition glasses.
Yes, we do.
When are you putting them online so that we can order them online?
We're just running down the stock that we've got at the minute, and then I think we're going to try another design. So it should be about 4 to 5 weeks, and when we get the new website up and running, I'm sure we'll be...
I've been 18 months trying to get hold of some of these, and we came last year, and I said, have you bringing the glasses to the show? No, we're not this year.
You can see Sue, a very excited Masons consumer.
Of course. The only way that consumers can buy the glasses at the minute is if they go to the distillery.
clearly a field trip needs to be organised then, so we'll have to talk about
that. I concur, yes.
I guess one of us are driving home then.
I'll probably be designated driver. It's been fantastic, touching base with your good self. See you again very soon.
Yes, yeah, thank you very much.
The great thing about the Great Yorkshire Show is that every so often you see a star doing some public performances in a kind of theatre in the round acting scenario, and just outside the Unite at the Great Yorkshire Show free exhibition from Unite the Union, we have
Chris Muscroft, Union Learning Organiser for Unite.
So talk to us a little bit about what you've got here and why you've got a lot of fantastic ladies dressed in vintage NHS outfits, costumes and so on.
What we've aimed to do today is promote the history of women in industry. So we're looking at the munition girls, the land girls and the NHS workers. So we've got various ladies here dressed in various uniforms from different periods, and we're promoting how women have helped shape this country and the great work they've done.
Significant stuff. Sue, as a woman, any thoughts from yourself?
Yes, I'm just the... What sort of era, how long are you representing? Because you've got some people there in the brown skirts and the gypsy tops, right through to the mop tops with their white pinafore dresses on, right through to the lady standing behind you, which is more of a traditional looking nurse's uniform. What sort of age gap are you looking to do today?
Well, the ladies at the front in the brown costumes are from the cotton mills. So for the disaster in Holmfirth, I believe it was. So we're remembering them and how the children died and the practices which meant the children died, where they was locked within the cotton mills. And then we're moving on to other things like that. So we're just celebrating women as a whole, right from the 1840s, right up to present day.
Ben?
Yeah, there's one figure. We recently been at the Lincolnshire Show. And there's one figure who joined us that day who potentially may be here today, we don't know, we haven't crossed paths with him just yet, and his name's Lou Bevan, and he is the nephew of the founder of Annie Lou Bevan. Yes, Nye Bevan, and he joins us quite regularly, so you may see him around at some point, and he may pop by, but it's a fantastic feature, and obviously what's the key features inside? Is it mainly the sort of the history of women in the NHS, or are you kind of going, broadly speaking, how women have been represented throughout their time in history?
It's a broader approach of how women have helped develop history coming
can
forward.
Can we invite one of these fine women along and actually sort of beckon her over? Chris, we'd like to just... Sharon, how's it been going for you, Sharon?
It's been brilliant. We've had over 2,000 people come through in the last 2 days. That's nearly as much as we had in 3 days last year.
So it's a success from that point of view. And who gets to choose which costumes you fine folk actually wear? Do you actually say bags eye the nurse's costume or something else?
Definitely the nurse's costume, yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
And what's the message that you really want to send out to people today when they're coming in and having a look at the exhibition? What's the message?
It's about showing how through banding together and through unions we've changed society, and how standing together you can actually make a change an impact on what happens. These changes in practice wouldn't have come along if it wasn't for people standing up for their rights. So it's all about that. It's showing that trade unions are still relevant. We're not a machine of the 1970s like people think. We do work with employers. I personally work on a learning agenda, so we help with training, education of staff, and we take a more proactive approach than people think. We're banging a fist on the table, saying we're not having that. It's how do we reach a good solution that works for everybody?
Where do you see the challenges for you, coming into this quite stormy future, shall we say?
European human rights gone. Any human rights gone? No, I'm only kidding.
No, we'll just have to keep campaigning as we always do. We'll fight our good fight and hopefully... will come out.
It's a sad thing that human beings can occasionally exploit other human beings, and that's one of the key things that you need checks and balances of any system. Perhaps that's where Unite can slot in. I'm interested by the Unite news we've got here. Issue 10,094, the workers' newspaper, 11th of February 1818. Today, a devastating fire destroyed Colnbridge Mill owned by brothers Thomas and Loyal Atkinson. Reason for that as a news headline that you're carrying around with yourself?
Just to guide people through the exhibition today. So whilst you're walking through, you can have a read of the newspaper, a read of the information on the walls. And we're giving it to children to take back into school because it will help with their curriculum on learning about history and stuff like that. It may be history from a different point of view and something they may not usually do within the school. but it's all important and it's part of their own history.
I think some of your final team are actually looking in with envy at the interview. We're going to come in and actually do a few photos if that's okay, just to get you in full force. And again, Unite the Union in the North East, Yorkshire and Humberside. Ben, of course, is from Brighton, so things like trade unions, don't know, it's a different language.
Yes, certainly.
We have this conference there most years.
So there we are.
Here we go. It's Brighton Centre, probably, no doubt.
In the background, we can hear Rosemary Schrager giving it all sorts of wonderful importance here at the Great Yorkshire Show. But we've decided to stop off at the Linseed Farm, the home of English linseed, and speak for a few moments with
Sue Scott.
So good to connect with your good self. Now, we've got here a range of things in terms of, obviously, the magic word omega-3, which is a very healthy aspect. Would you like to tell us a bit more about the product and why linseed is such a wonderful, healthy oil to cook with?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, the first thing I'm going to correct you on, Alex, is that linseed oil is very high in omega-3, and like most seed and nut oils, it means that if you've got a high omega-3 content, you don't want to cook with it at high temperatures.
Thank you.
So that's a key message. So you can use linseed oil and you can use olive oil and rapeseed oil and all the other seed oils in low and low temperature cooking, nothing above about 170 degrees. If you do, it changes the chemical nature of the oils. That's what we want to avoid, basically. And you're taking all the really good stuff out of it, and the good stuff is the omega-3. Now, omega-3 is a natural anti-inflammatory, and you need it in your body in roughly the same equivalent to omega-6. So I'm not going to confound you with lots of numbers here.
No, that's fine.
The two you need to keep in your mind is omega-3 and omega-6, right? Omega-3 is an anti-inflammatory. Omega-6 is a pro-inflammatory, and the body needs both of them. Unfortunately, as our diet has changed, we're taking a lot more omega-6, pro-inflammatory, and a lot less omega-3, anti-inflammatory. So what Derwin set out to do is, the farmer who actually started the linseed farm, was to produce a product that could be eaten on its own, or it could be incorporated in cooking to try and redress that balance. Because when the body comes out of balance with those two things, a lot of nasty stuff happens. So you get extra disease, you are vulnerable to many more things. For instance, arthritis, psoriasis, any inflammatory condition, if you don't have enough omega-3 in the body, you're much more prone to develop them.
And indeed, actually, recent studies, I believe, just quoting from one of our main partners, Pharma Nord, actually suggest that omega-3 is one of those things which may well be very useful in the battle against Alzheimer's, because, again, it works through that whole process.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the plasticity of the cells in your body that's so important, and omega-3 is used in the construction of the membranes around all those cells. I won't get very technical, but basically, to make certain that the body functions properly, there's millions and millions of messages being sent between those cells, especially in your brain, where most of the cells are. And if you don't get the synapses firing across those membranes, then you run into problems. And that is one of the problems with degenerative mental diseases, including Alzheimer's.
And looking towards this, again, one of the aspects which I thought was an amazing fact, which has still stuck with me over the years, is if you were to use sources such as fish and other sort of areas, you'd have to consume huge quantities, whereas what we've got here is the pure omega-3 oil. And actually, from that point of view, it's actually better for you in terms of you don't have to consume quite as much of it.
To an extent, yes. The omega-3 that's in plants and seeds is in the building blocks of life. So the omega-3 you're getting in fish, the fish actually manufacture that omega-3 from the plants that they feed on. So you can get omega-3 in sea plants, basically. So you do actually, it's actually the other way around. You actually need to take more omega-3 from a plant-based source than you do from a flesh-based source, a fish source. Yeah.
And what was it that attracted your good self to the linseed farm? Because I sense an enthusiasm, a drive for this. Is it a case of an interest in biochemistry and a case of the physiology of side of things? What kind of brought you to the whole area?
Right, well, I'm incidental to the story, really, but the gentleman who founded the linseed farm, Derwin Banks, is a farmer. He came from a long line of farmers who had moved from dairy farming into arable farming. But he has a very personal story to tell, and that is that his sister, Lynn, unfortunately, developed breast cancer. And he, as a farmer, he knew that there was a healing power in plants. That's what farmers do. They grow food to keep us well. They're very often tainted with a different brush, but they grow food to keep us well and healthy. And so he looked around for something that would help his sister. And he came across a wonderful woman called Joanna Budwig, who's a German doctor, who was actually nominated for a Nobel Prize. And she had put together an entire protocol, a cancer diet that was based on linseed. And he read up about this, and he tried to persuade his sister Lynn to change her diet. It was too late for Lynn, unfortunately, but it had set Derwin on a path, on a mission, really, more than just farming. He was now on a mission to change people's eating habits, and he did it by creating the home of English linseed.
Well, I think you've shared some effective and very important aspects there. As we said, cholesterol balance, healthy heart, menopausal support, healthy skin, glossy hair, strong nails. Clearly, it's good that also the linseed farm, the home of English linseed, is producing this, as opposed to having to sort of sign up for all sorts of other bits and pieces. So a healthy choice in the 159th Great Yorkshire Show.
Thank you very much, Alex.
A web address, how can people get in touch with your good self if they're listening to this and they'd like to find out more details?
Right, we'd be very happy to talk to anybody. We're a small family-based farm in West Sussex. Come and see us anytime. We're near Horsham. If you go onto the internet, you can find us at www.thelinseedfarm.co.uk.
Well, who knows, Sue, perhaps in the next year we might actually come down and do a little location report with you, if that'd be okay.
We would love to see you, Alex.
Oh, I've caught up with Sue and Ben again after doing my little linseed oil omega-3 section there with Sue, your namesake, of course, in full force. And we're currently sort of watching and seeing the performance that is Rosemary Schrager.
We are watching the master at work.
Mistress, surely.
Well, yes, mistress. This Rosemary is amazing, particularly with obscure cooking. So she cooks very much with venison and with pheasant, pigeon and rabbit. Although, to be fair to her, at the moment she is cooking up a lovely rack of lamb. This afternoon she'll be on rabbit, which Ben was slightly interested in, but at the moment we're just listening to her and watching her. Well, watching us show us how it's done, really. And she's amazing. She's wielding a knife around, hence my slight anxiousness.
We've just been witness to an awesome display by the legendary Rosemary Schrager, and indeed assisted by the very capable
Stuart Beaton.
Now, Stuart, I was very impressed with the fact that the lamb which you sacrificed today, which was wonderful, goes back to the line, in this business you're either a winner or you're dinner. So, great stuff.
Absolutely. These rare breeds, the best way to keep them alive is to eat them, to be honest with you.
Exactly. It's something which, again, folk tend not to realise from that point of view, but what was it like working with Rosemary?
Oh, it's fantastic. She really is a lovely person. Really nice.
Over to a bit. Ben, thoughts for yourself?
Yeah, it looks absolutely fantastic. And could you tell us a little bit more about the lamb you were showing earlier in the food demonstration?
Yeah, this is a lamb. My daughter has a small flock of Wensleydale sheep, which she shows us pedigrees. She's been showing today, actually won a prize with a fleece and won several prizes the other day in the pedigree classes. But this is one that didn't make the grade as a show animal, so it's made the grade as a meat animal. Simple as that.
And I'm sure it's looking down from animal heaven saying, thank the Lord for that. Success at last.
Well, Auntie had some respect today, and that's what these things need. You know, people that can't respect the livestock, as it makes its journey to dead stock, it's a poor job. So, you know, we always try and take them to the end and with respect.
Sue.
Yes, I would wholeheartedly agree with that. Certainly, it's a practice throughout the sheep breeding industry. I grew up on a sheep farm, so that's exactly what happens with my parents. If the lamb doesn't make the grade for breeding purposes, for the Dutch Texel sheep, then it goes off for meat. And that's exactly what we do. If we can't afford it, that sort of that opportunity in life, then we absolutely treat it with reverence in death, if you will, and give it its best send off. What's your favourite cut of lamb?
To be honest, that depends how I'm feeling. On a cold afternoon, cold day, shoulder lamb, slow roasted, you can't beat it. Today, a nice, warm, sunny day, something really quick and easy. A rack of lamb's brilliant. A bit bigger, more of us for dinner, you can't beat a leg. So, anything really.
Well, I think you're to be commended for a tremendous sort of routine. Let's give a plug to the actual farmer once again. How can people actually access your quality stuff?
It's the Ainsley Farm Shop at ainsleyfarmshop.co.uk. Thank you very much.
Every Thursday on Siren FM and Southside Broadcasting, William Sitwell always says, Rosemary Schrager, she's the number one person to go to. And Rosemary, it's a delight to touch base with you once again.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me to chat.
It's always good. We've just seen a tour de force in terms of your activities and ways through that. Again, superb. How do you maintain that level of motivation and energy?
Do you know what? I consider myself to be an extremely fortunate person who gets asked still to do a lot of lovely things. it's a privilege and it's humbling. And the fact is, I'm still working, which is great. I love it. Bring it on, because I have to tell you, one day it won't be there.
Oh.
So I am really loving it. But also, the main thing is that actually you are seen to enjoy yourself, and I love every minute of it. I mean, I'm probably one of the luckiest people to wake up every morning and love my job. I'm so, so lucky. I really do.
Which is always a recipe for life in its own sort of way, which is fantastic.
Do you know, it's what keeps you young. It's what keeps you young.
Let's promote the book. Let's go straight into the book.
Oh, well,
we'll coming up. Let's go.
Yes, well, the book will be ready. It'll be out hopefully next spring at some stage, or late spring. It's going to be very exciting. I've got Ebury Press are doing it for me. I've got, and then it'll be on sale hopefully next year here. Then the whole thing is, it's very exciting, and now I'm going to concentrate on that. I'm obviously going away a bit for more
China.
Marigold. China, yes, but we're going away for Marigold on tour again, which is also terribly exciting to see how retired people work in different countries. That is an enjoyment in itself, but it's hard work, but actually it's fascinating. It's really an interesting thing to do.
I know that Ben's mother was actually listening to you via his telephone. So, Ben, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, there's sort of two questions in relation to the best marigold, anyway. Have you taken inspiration from any of the cooking in these different countries you've visited so far? And how have you implemented them in your cooking now?
That's a really interesting thing, because, in fact, yes, I have. First of all, when I came back from India, I started putting a lot more spices into my food. When I was in India, I actually learned to layer Indian food, Indian spices, which I never knew worked. So you do it very much like French cooking, which is fascinating. Then, sheep. Yes, I've got to go. Sheep. So I'm being called to go to the sheep section. Just very, very quickly. And the answer is, yes, I've changed. When I went to Japan, again, I used things that I'd never used before. So it is, yes, it is. It's developing. But that is what is so lovely about cooking today, is we have such diversity in different cultures and different things. We're able to get the products. It's wonderful. It's exciting. But there's still nothing better than great British food.
Indeed.
Rosemary, it's been an absolute delight. We'll let you go to the sheep now. Many
thanks
indeed.
Thank
speak
you
again soon.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Ben has left us. It's not that serious. He will hopefully return as we continue our little audio promenade here for the Midweek Drive at the Yorkshire Show, the Great Yorkshire Show 2017. Because Sue and myself have currently taken up residence in the main ring, as you possibly will be able to hear by the commentator who's just describing, I believe, the next stage in the Cock of the North Championships. Sue, would you like to describe what is actually a lovely Thursday summer afternoon?
Yes, the grand ring here at the Great Yorkshire Show is quite a scene to behold. It always has been. It's much, much bigger than the Lincolnshire Show ring. And at the moment, we've got a band of cadets who are just taking down all the show jumping jumps. And we're preparing for the cattle grand parade at 2 o'clock, followed by the Cock of the North, which I am intrigued to know more about.
Second year of scurrying and Mark Jim, dear mum, she is the groom, my word. She has spending absolute absence over the...
Well, the good news is that Ben has finally returned, so he's been allowed in, which is great stuff, despite our sort of attempts to actually keep him barred from the whole thing. And what are we watching now, Sue?
We're watching carriage racing, which actually looks really very interesting. It's
scurrying.
A bit.
I think scurrying is the technical term.
Yes. It's a bit fly by the seat of your pants. There's not a lot on these scurries. And we're just watching Team Star go through and try for their course record. That I wouldn't want to be seeing on the back of that, I have to say, flinging myself about.
So we've just seen the result of the scurry driving, and it was Chaz and Dave, strangely southern-sounding lads, etc., who actually did the whole thing. Fruit and Nuts collapsed in the end with a final sort of scenario. Ben, your first experience of scurry racing?
Well, it was the second after the Lincolnshire Show, but no, it was thoroughly enjoyable. Not something I tend to usually watch, but something that you can all watch. I think it's something for all audiences to enjoy.
How do you think it would fit with a kind of pre-match raison d'etre for Brighton and Hove Albion to have some scurry racing on the pitch?
I think that's still yet to be confirmed if anything does go ahead, but I'm sure football fans would thoroughly enjoy it.
even though this has actually been one of the briefest little sojourns that we've had at the Great Yorkshire Show, the 159th Great Yorkshire Show, it's been a sensational, fun-packed day, and we have decided to sign off, obviously, with the august personage, who is the general all-round chief executive of the Yorkshire Agricultural Society. It's Nigel Pulling.
Good afternoon.
So, Nigel, this is the time where that line that we finished your last telephonic interview with can kind of be opened up, because Ben Lewis, who's one of our team today, I think you were shocked when you realised not only he'd never been to the Yorkshire Agricultural Society or the Great Yorkshire Show, he'd never set foot in Yorkshire before.
No, he's obviously had a treat coming up to Yorkshire for the first time, and obviously I'm keen to think what he thought of not so much Yorkshire but obviously the show, because we want people to come and enjoy it, and he's a fresh pair of eyes for us.
Well, Nigel, the interviewing reins are now yours, so would you like to quiz him on his experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be just interested in your first impressions. Have you enjoyed it, and if anything, what did you enjoy the most?
Well, firstly, I haven't seen a lot of Yorkshire myself, so now I've been here, I want to be able to come back further and come back more and explore more. But overall, throughout this experience, I think it's sort of opened your eyes to a wider world in agriculture, not just farming, but farming animals as well. Obviously, you can go hands-on, but a lot of people who live in urban areas don't get the opportunity to go hands-on and get stuck in. Mm. You get to meet the breeders, have a chat with them, and then find out their own sort of specialities, what their interests are, and ultimately find out their main passion and how they can sort of spread the word around at agriculture shows like this, being the biggest in the country.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of our key aims, really, is not only for people to have entertainment, but to talk to people and learn about and gather information. Not in a sort of teaching sense, but just because they're interested and they learn about where their food comes from and, as you say, all the countryside. So you have enjoyed yourself?
Oh, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think it's really good for especially the kids, young kids as well. I've noticed that it's a very big thing for them. Obviously, a lot of them may not know a lot about their food sources, where the food comes from, anything like that. But, you know, bring them to shows like this makes it fun and interactive, but also a learning experience for them in general.
Yeah, we've got a long tradition of families bringing their children to the show who then come and support us for years afterwards. And so it's so important that the next generation is enthused because they are the future. I think I better hand over back to you.
I mean, Nigel, I think clearly we've got exactly. It's just consummate style and class and so on. But it has been a great show. We've also actually touched base with Rosemary Schrager. She went down very well.
But yes, Rosemary's quite a character.
And Ben, you also had another celebrity soul.
Yeah, just spoke to Carol Klein before coming back here as well. She's absolutely lovely.
Yes. It's the first time ever in the sort of 15 years I've been covering the show that I managed to watch the entirety of the Grand Parade of Cattle. It's very, very impressive.
It is. I think it must be one of the biggest parades of cattle in the country. It is just a fantastic. But again, it's the commentary about the cattle which supplements it. So it's a spectacle. But in the background, you're being told information not only about the winners, but about beef industry and the dairy industry. So, yeah, it hits those twin goals.
Sue?
Oh, well, yeah, I was struck, the cattle parade, how nice it was to see farm kids actually leading with their parents, and in some cases their grandparents. It's certainly a rite of passage that I had over the years, and it's nice to see that tradition is clearly still continuing. Because as you say, Nigel, it's the younger generation that are going to bring agriculture in general through to the later years. So, I've had a thoroughly good time. I always have a good time at such occasions.
It's your third one, so I believe.
It is, yes. It's my third one doing this, yeah. But I have been before when I'm much, much smaller.
So it's thumbs up from the Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM crew, Nigel. Countryside Live will be with us before we know where we are. I believe it's 21st, 22nd of October.
That sounds about right, yes. So we spend a few weeks sorting out the Great Yorkshire. We then start planning for the Great Yorkshire, but in the meantime, as a sort of sideline, we do Countryside Live, and we're hoping that'll be bigger and better this year. We've got quite a lot of interesting plans, which I'll be able to tell you about in person sooner rather than later.
This is the key point. Of course, it's high time I actually came back down to Lincoln. It's been about 6 or 7 years since you were last with us, I think.
Well, you only have to extend me an invitation, and I might actually turn up.
We'll get that sorted through. Nigel Pulling, it's been a delight as ever. The Yorkshire Agricultural Society continues to go from strength to strength. Any final thoughts, Ben?
I'm coming back again.
There you convinced the man from Brighton. He say yes.
That's what I want to hear. I always say my opinion of this show is not really what counts. It's visitors. It's the exhibitors. Do the exhibitors want to come back? Do visitors want to come back? That is the seal of approval.